me here. I have worked here all my life.
This is the second time that I've been here in the last few days. Since the last time, there's a little bit more rubble being cleared up. Interestingly, you can just walk straight in, even though it's a crime scene or a former crime scene, and still a site where it's still really dangerous in places. But you can walk straight in. It's that easy. But finding out just what happened here is a little harder.
At the very least, I wanted to find out just how many people had died here. Estimates range from around 30 to over 600. A workman took me down to the basement, but told me his team had only recovered 3 bodies from the rubble. He also grumbled that they could have worked much faster if they hadn't been ordered to remove brick by brick, due to, as he called them, fake stories about hundreds underneath. Some eyewitnesses and previous media reports say that there were over 100 outside the theatre at a field kitchen. None survived, they said.
We thought there would be between 500 to 1,000 dead. There are 3 floors, but only 20 bodies were dug out, which means the others were led out from the theatre. Outside, beside the kitchen, there were 15 bodies, thank God.
Witnesses say there was 100 people outside at a food shelter, and they were all killed. Is that what you saw?
No, they only found 20 inside the basement and 15 outside. That's all. We thought that there were 1,000 dead, and we were going around these ruins shouting if there was anyone alive still. There were arms and legs. It's difficult to put it into words.
Alexander also finds it hard to hold back the tears. If this was a Russian strike, it would still constitute a war crime. But have the figures been exaggerated to cause greater uproar?
Behind me is a famous Russian journalist and TV personality. I've spoken to them. They are unsurprisingly very clear that this was a Ukrainian strike to blame on the Russians. But there isn't just a battle on the ground here in Ukraine. There's also a propaganda war as Russia seeks to justify its invasion, and NATO and Ukraine seek to make Russia out to be committing heinous war crimes.
At the nearest hospital, I speak to a medic who was working at the time of the explosion.
Maybe it was a strike from the air. According to another account, it was mined and detonated. I cannot say for sure. It's not clear.
Why couldn't you get to the theatre as an ambulance driver?
At that time, the Russian military didn't let us go to the theatre. There were battles going on nearby.
If Alexander's testimony is to be believed, and if the workmen are correct about there being few bodies in the rubble, then did the Russians take away hundreds of bodies in the hours after the explosion, in which they took control of the area and before the morning? Possibly. In an honest world, an independent investigation would be carried out to find out what happened and how many people died. But for now, as the war continues to rage, that seems unlikely. As they say, history is written by the winners. Johnny Miller, Mariupol. Allah,
Allah, Allah, Allah, Allah. این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. You, the ladies who hail from the families of theologians and religious teachers, are superior to others. You hail from the family of the Prophet and are at the forefront of safeguarding the avowed goods of Islam. God has blessed us with this favor and commanded that you protect Islam and the teachings of Islam with the help of Allah. Allah is sufficient for you and for such of the believers that follow you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Quran. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that the Quran must be present in all features of our lives. Now, in this part of his speech, obviously, he is referring to following the Quran, the footsteps of the Quran, and to apply Quran in our lives so that when we look at our, or someone looks at our life, in all features of our life, they can see the practical version or the face of the Quran. They can see that we are practically following the teachings of Quran, and it should be presented in all features, inshallah. So this is what Imam Khomeini is saying. And when we look at the Quran as well, in the Quran, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a guidance for the God-weary ones. This book has no doubt. Now, why it does not have any doubt? It's because it is the wordings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there is a guidance for the muttaqeen. There is a guidance for the mankind. And even when we look at the teachings of the Quran, where it talks to the mankind, it gives the guidance to the whole mankind. And this is what we need to see, that we need to apply this in our daily life. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us in the Quran, He says how to live, what to eat. For example, there is a verse where it says, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from what we have given you, from the pure things what we have given you. So these pure things, obviously these are the things that are provided for the mankind. Quran talks about our feed. Quran talks about our way of living, how to socialize with the people, how to socialize with those who are not in line with the faith and belief that you have, how to deal with the animals, with the plants, what to eat, what not to eat, and how to avoid wasting the things. There are many, many things that are said in the Quran. Therefore, if we can apply the Quran and if we can see that in all features of our lives, then obviously we will be called someone who are following truly the teachings of the Quran. We will be from the Quranic family if we are following and applying the Quranic teachings. And we see that how Imam Khomeini himself has applied the teachings of the Quran. Wherever there was a sin, he used to avoid it. Even when people used to backbite in front of him, when they used to talk about some politicians in front of him, he used to say, because they're not present, don't talk about them. When they come, you need to talk. Even he never allowed anyone to talk about any politician in absence of that politician. Therefore, it is necessary to have the Quran in all features of our lives, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Targeting the healthcare sector is a grave crime against humanity, and in further analysis of global health policy, it is imperative we address Israeli regime's action as such, says Emily Hacker, writer, in an article published under the heading, Israeli regime's assaults on public health infrastructure amount to war crimes. Stay tuned for more. In May 2021, the Zionist regime military dropped hundreds of bombs on the Gaza Strip, destroying houses, schools, businesses, and healthcare facilities. Perhaps nowhere was the human toll of that month more apparent than at Al-Shifa Hospital, the only hospital in Gaza equipped for emergency assistance. Doctors worked for days on end, rarely sleeping or eating and unable to see their families as they frantically treated hundreds of wounded Palestinian patients, at least those patients who could actually reach the hospital. Outside the hospital grounds, streets were so badly damaged by the Zionist regime's airstrikes that paramedics struggled to bring patients directly to Al-Shifa. In the span of those 11 days in May, the Zionist regime occupation forces wreaked havoc on Gaza's already precarious public health system, damaging or destroying 19 medical centers, including the offices of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, a nonprofit that provides cancer treatment and medical prosthetics to children who are unable to seek care outside of Gaza due to Israeli regime blockade.
We'll be right back.
The Israeli regime's military actions in 2021 were, unfortunately, nothing new. Numerous Israeli bombing campaigns have damaged or destroyed primary health infrastructure in the occupied Gaza Strip, including clinics and hospitals, as well as key public health services like water treatment facilities, sewage treatment plants, and electrical grids. This is not accidental. The Zionist regime relies on, among other strategies, the destruction of Palestinian health infrastructure, the targeting of medical personnel, and inhibiting Palestinian access to healthcare to enforce its regime of apartheid. Yet, Western health officials often overlook these acts, which are nothing short of war crimes, and this passive complicity violates promise as healthcare professionals to do no harm. The physical and mental health of the Palestinian people is a central component of Palestinian liberation and must be discussed as such. The Zionist regime's military offensives against Palestine have both created and exacerbated existing public health concerns within the occupied Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Beginning with the Nakba in 1948, the Israeli regime has made it a matter of policy to destroy not only Palestinian homes and communities, but clinics, hospitals, and other health infrastructure. Israeli airstrikes on Gaza in 2021 damaged or destroyed numerous clinics, a water treatment facility, and infrastructure related to COVID-19 testing and treatment. Nearly 2,000 Palestinians in Gaza were injured during the Zionist regime's May 2021 military assault, and hospitals were overwhelmed. The outright destruction of Palestinian health infrastructure, such as the bombing of a clinic operated by Doctors Without Borders, is accompanied by direct physical violence against healthcare personnel. The Israeli regime military have killed medical professionals, including doctors Ayman Abu Al-Auf and Mo'in Al-Aul in 2021, and paramedic Razan Al-Najjar, who was killed by Israeli snipers in 2018. Often, leaders and pillars of their communities, doctors killed by the Israeli regime military, leave behind both a physical and psychological void of healthcare and security. The actions of the fake regime of Israel and occupying military forces are indefensible by any interpretation and international humanitarian law, yet they are ignored at every opportunity by world leaders. In no other country and in no other war could such actions be left unaddressed by the Western medical community. Along with the destruction of Palestinian health infrastructure and the targeted killings of Palestinian healthcare workers, the Israeli regime imposes draconian restrictions on the movement of Palestinians seeking healthcare in Gaza and the West Bank. Medical travel permits are often delayed, lost, or ignored by Israeli regime occupation forces operating checkpoints out of Gaza. Figures from the World Health Organization estimate that the Israeli regime and military accepted only 54% of medical travel permits in 2017. Blockades and checkpoints operated by Israeli regime occupation forces grossly impede not only the day-to-day freedoms of Palestinians, but prevent ambulances from transporting critically ill and injured patients. Despite the close proximity of the Israeli and Palestinian populations, infant and maternal mortality rates remain markedly higher for Palestinians, and life expectancy is almost 10 years shorter. The rates of stroke, hypertension, coronary artery disease, diabetes, and neonatal disorders range from 3 to 7 times higher for Palestinians as compared with Israelis. This is by design. The Israeli regime has removed or prevented the construction of systems of care and residences, denying building permits and demolishing homes. Living under a regime of occupation and apartheid carries with it a heavy physical toll, one that cannot be adequately expressed through statistics. Bodily integrity and bodily health are identified as key components to individual prosperity. The right of self-determination and Palestinian liberation are incumbent upon the general health of the Palestinian population, both of which the Zionist regime aims to destroy. The healthcare workers and public health personnel living and working under Israeli regime occupation are a testament to Palestinian strength and resistance. And public health officials in Palestine must have their calls to action echoed by their colleagues internationally. Outside of Palestine, healthcare professionals should be among the first to apply pressure to Western regimes to end funding absent a change of Israeli regime behavior and to condemn and uncover Israeli war crimes. Targeting the healthcare sector is a grave crime against humanity, and in further analysis of global health policy, it is imperative we address the Zionist regime action as such.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Sevier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Sevier International School here. So they've joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. As you know, that you have been with us during these lessons, and we really thank you for this, and we really ask you to stay with us till the end of these sessions, till the end of this series of lessons, inshallah. So, okay, let's get back to our lesson. So, alhamdulillah, you understood that whenever the ya shape has two dots under it, that is the actual ya. You produce the sound of y, yeah, okay?
Yeah.
But whenever it does not have, there is a dagger alif on the top of it.
It's
sitting
called
on
alif maksura.
And that is called alif maksura. You pronounce the sound, you produce the sound of? Now let's practice. Now, Hadi, Mahdi, look at me. Now practice with me. We have a fatha, then alif. Read it. Fatha alif. Now, fatha alif, dagger alif now. No, no, no. Dagger, the dagger alif is as well pronounced as Maksura alif. The names are different. The shapes are different. The sounds are
different.
The same.
Same.
In parentheses. Alif is the same. The sound is the same sound. Alif Maksura, the same sound. Dagger alif, the same sound. Only the shapes and faces are different.
Wait, so Alif Maksura is the same? It.
Yeah. I mean, the sound are the same.
Then, sir, why do we need a Hamza?
Huh?
Why do we need Hamza, then?
Where is the Hamza? Hamza
here,
is...
Look,
we have Aleph, we have Hamza, right?
So we have... It could just for Awa. You could just remove the Hamza, put an Aleph dagger and a Sukun. And become Fa'awa.
No. Fa'awa, that's Hamza. So Hamza is different from Aleph. You know, look at me. Aleph does not accept any harakat, okay? Aleph does not accept any harakat. So it does not have a, e, o. If you see a, e, o, that is Hamza. Oh, one important point. I will say it after a salawat. Mm.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Okay, sir, look. One thing. Yes.
In here, fa'awa, in the way, there's alif maksura and an alif dagger on top of it. Why? Yeah.
Oh, no. Look, that ye with alif maksura, that ye with dagger alif is called alif maksura. Together.
Oh, yeah.
You got it?
Oh. You didn't got it.
You were not paying attention. Now. He was listening to that baby crying in his cousin's house. Ah, that's why. Okay, pay attention. So, Mahdi, that ye, the shape of ye with that dagger alif is called alif maksura. Yes? If that only, that alif, dagger alif is there, that's called? Dagger alif. If that dagger alif grows up, yeah, it becomes a complete alif. Yes? So
ya is the mother of dagger alif.
Ya?
Yeah.
Maybe, okay.
The father is alif?
Alif, the alif. Okay. So, but they are from the same family. Yeah. I usually make this example. Look, my family name is Fasihizada. Okay? My father's family name is Fasihizada. My grandfather's family name is Fasihi, okay? So we are from the same family, yes?
Yeah.
With the same name, but different people with the same family name. Fasihi. Yeah, maybe my baby becomes, again, Fasihi, okay? That means the same name, the same sound, but different people.
Yes.
So dagger alif, maksura alif, and complete alif, the same sound, but different shapes, all right? Yes?
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
Understood?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Let's recite a salawat if you have understood.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Okay,
one thing. Everyone who are listening to us, look, whenever you want to thank Allah Almighty, you can say different words. Yes?
Like
so, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah.
We
say Shukran Lillah. We say salawat if you say again it's. Thanks to Allah. Yeah? And sometimes it's not about like saying words. Sometimes we have to practice it. So sometimes we have to do it. Yes? We have to show it by our actions. Like what? Like go and do the prayers. Be good to the people. Yeah? Respect your parents. If you respect your parents, it means you're thanking Allah Almighty. Yes? Allah Almighty has sent us Holy Quran. If you read and understand Holy Quran, it means you are thanking Allah Almighty.
I don't know what page, but it's an ayah I know.
So the thing was about respecting parents, yeah? That is a way of thanking to Allah Almighty. Yeah, whenever you eat your meal, like breakfast, like dinner, lunch, after you finish, you say?
Alhamdulillah.
Before you start?
Bismillah.
After you finish?
Alhamdulillah.
Ahsan. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Muslim brothers are very good here.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
قرآني طهر ذاتي
Well,
I told you, I want to tell you one point. That was this. Look, so there is a hamza, right? The difference between hamza and alif. One difference is this, the shape is the shapes are different. Next, alif does not accept any harakat. Alif does not have atha, does not have dhamma, does not have kasra. Mahdi, yes?
Alif is angry.
Yeah. But alif, look, but hamza, Mahdi, but hamza accepts harakat. Accepts harakat, okay? It has kasra, it has fatha, it has dhamma. A, e, o. Alif cannot have a, e, o. Okay? Understood? Yes. That is hamza. Now, one more thing about hamza. Like dagger alif. Dagger alif sometimes comes alone, sometimes on the top of a ya. Yes?
Yes.
Hamza is well like this. Hamza sometimes comes and sits on alif, sometimes sits on wall, sometimes sits on ya.
So it likes to sit on its friends?
Yes. It sits on ya, alif, or wall. Okay? So wherever it goes, wherever it sits, okay? If it is on the top of alif, waw, ya, that's again hamza. Do not read it waw. Do not read it alif. Do not read it ya, okay? Okay. Now, Minhal Hussein, read hamza with fatha on the top of alif.
Hamza with fatha on the top of alif?
Yes.
No.
Just a sound. A. No longer. I mean, we're not talking about alif Madina, okay? Only hamza with fatha on the top of alif. It means that is hamza, that's not alif. Good. Hamza with dhamma on the top of waw. Mahdi. Hamza, okay? With kasra on the top of ya.
E.
Hamza.
Yeah. Say it.
Say mother of mobbing.
Right? That is hamza. Okay? So let's go. I will read some words, okay? You got to repeat after me, inshallah. Then we will go and also practice some words from the Holy Quran. Some
can
verses,
we just
okay?
practice Surah An-Nur?
Surah An-Nur, that's too long. So, everyone, let's read Surah Al-Duha, inshallah, okay? I will read, and then you practice after me, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, as you are hearing us, thanks for being with us. Page 596. Surah Al-Duha, we will practice this surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Oh, I hear some wrong words.
A'udhu billahi.
Shaytan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytan.
It is the name of shaytan, the evil. We don't like it, but it's the word of Quran, so we have to say it beautifully. Don't say A'udhu billahi minash shaytan.
Quran or shaytan? Hit shaytan or respect Quran?
Yeah, respect the Quran. If you respect the Quran, it means you're
respecting shaytan.
Yeah, seeking refuge from shaytan. No, you're not. So, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
What did you say?
A'udhu.
Oh, I heard ma'udhu. It's like one qamari. So, again. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Wadduha.
Wadduha.
Okay. Look at wadduha.
No, it's wadduha.
Yeah, the last part. Look at the last part. That is alif. What alif?
Alif
Okay, so when you pronounce wadduha, you don't pronounce wadduh. Wadduh. Wait.
Wadduhi.
Even neither. Anyways, you see the dhuha has a
fatha.
Yes, and has a
maqsura.
Yeah, but there's a alif dagger, so it makes a maqsura.
Alif dagger. What about the ye?
Look at the teacher, doesn't know.
So that is a maqsura alif. We said if dagger alif with a shape of ye comes, okay, together, that's what? Alif maqsura.
Alif maqsura.
So wadduha. The sound is correct. MashaAllah. So One more ayah, then inshallah we will practice it more. So, wadduha.
Wadduha.
Don't say wadduhi.
Wadduha.
Or don't say wadduha.
You say
wadduha. Alif. Okay.
Wadduha.
واللیل اذا سجى
واللیل اذا سجى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى.
See how beautiful the verses of the Holy Quran are. والضحى والليل اذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى ولا الآخرة خير لك من الأولى.
Sir,
you said when rhyming words, yes? So beautifully. So, thank you so much. Inshallah, we'll practice it, okay? And inshallah, in the next session, we'll practice it, inshallah. But before we end, we will really thank again the IRIB English Radio. Yes? Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Right,
and also, Xavier International.
And us.
School
and,
and also, yeah, yeah. Hadi, Mahdi, and Milhan Hussein. Especially me. Thank you so much.
So there is a
so
me.
Let's recite Hadi a salawat, Mahdi. Everyone. Allah.
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 Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems. But think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset. Just tagged the giant, a 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290 million old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina. June 21st marks the International Day of Yoga. On this day, people, especially Hindus around the world, gather in open spaces to perform this ancient physical exercise, raising awareness of its benefits on the human body and mind. Yoga is believed to have originated in India thousands of years ago and is mentioned in ancient Hindu mythological books. The word yoga derives from Sanskrit and means to join or unite, symbolizing the union of body and consciousness. In India, the day is celebrated with a different theme each year, with this year's theme being Yoga for Humanity. Mass yoga events took place around India, especially in and around iconic sites such as the Taj Mahal. Other countries, such as Vietnam and Thailand, also celebrated Yoga Day with hundreds performing it in open spaces. Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity and environmental pollution. Vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The bears were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyat. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs, such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animals or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's topic: the role of faith in the life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No doubt that our intellect and our reason has the power to guide us in the life. We can manage our life and we can direct ourselves towards the goals which we have chosen for ourselves in the life by our help of our own reason and intellect. That is the inner guidance. That is the inner power which helps us to move towards the goals which we set for ourselves in the life. But is this enough? The intellect and the reason that helps us to move towards our own goals in the life, is that enough? And is the material aspect of life enough for us to guide to our eventual perfection? When we look at ourselves, we find that humans are not just limited to their physical being. There are aspects in our being, in our existence, which are metaphysical and supernatural. They are beyond the limits of materiality. They are beyond the limits of the known and physical world of experience. If you don't touch that aspect of your being and limit yourself just to material aspects of your life, you will eventually find that there is an inner deficiency. There is something missing in your life, not touching the dimension of spirituality and the world of immateriality eventually haunts you. And there is an inner need for touching the dead dimension of life. Welcome back. This is A to Z. We were talking about the importance of religion and faith in the life. So no doubt that there is an inner need, a psychological, an internal need for touching a spiritual dimension and not just confining ourselves to material aspects of our life. How this inner need can be fulfilled? One may say that there are yogis, there are spiritual people, there are different people they claim that they have spiritual powers. When we can seek help from them to fulfill our need, but if you look at the history, and if you look at the history of the people, the history of the mankind, you will find that the most sincere people, the most sound people in the history of humanity, the most perfect people in the history of humanity, who were very much sincere to us as human beings, were the prophet and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their experience of spirituality, their experience of touching the dimension of immateriality, the abstract realm of reality, was the most perfect type of experience, because the result of that spiritual claim which they had, its result was the most beautiful thing. They came up with the most beautiful character, the sacrifice which they did for humanity, the most higher standards of excellence and moral qualities which they had, and the most organized and harmony which we see in their personality brings us to the fact and reality that they were the most trustable and trustworthy people in the spiritual realm. And the gift they brought for us is the faith. A faith which is based on the rational fact, a religion which is in harmony with our own nature. So this gift is the most precious gift. Without connecting yourself, without being in connection with that realm through the religion and faith, you will not feel satisfaction in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with sincerity and truth in paving the path of faith and religion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.